Welcome to the Leo Alves podcast. I do hope you're well. Now, I thought I'd do a solo episode today because it's been a little while since I'd done one, excluding the podcast episode that I released on my birthday back here on September the 19th, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, do check it out. But yeah, apart from that episode, it's been a good while since I released a solo episode, so I really wanted to release one today. And in today's podcast, or solo podcast episode, I should say, I wanted to speak about six tips that you can reduce the chances of you overeating. So this is definitely worth a listen to. Now, it is worth mentioning that you might have heard me speak about these tips on social media before, or on my email list, or even in a one-to-one chat that we may have had. But one thing I did realize is that I had never mentioned it on the podcast. And it's also worth mentioning that even if you have heard one or two of the tips before, you know, chances are you haven't heard me say all six. So it's definitely worth a listen, especially if you have a hard time putting down the bag of crisps or cookies. Or this podcast could also be worth a listen if you also know someone who struggles with overeating, which, to be honest, is quite a common thing. It's not rare at all. It is quite common. So chances are you do know at least one or two people that struggle with overeating. So chances are, you know, one or two people that you could pass this podcast episode onto and, you know, help him improve their life for the better. But before I do go into those six different points, I just wanted to mention, on a completely different note and more personal life related, that I've officially moved to Portugal. And to say that out loud feels quite crazy. And now, you know, if we've been speaking for a while, or you've been following me again on social media, and we stay on touch over social media, whatever platform it might be, you've probably seen me in Portugal for a good while now. So you're thinking, like, what do you mean you've moved to Portugal? You've been in Portugal for a little while now. But I mean, like, officially, because part of me always thought, you know, I'll probably go back to England, go back home to London, and, you know, settle down there again. But as I've stayed here longer, I've actually realized that I actually do enjoy being here. And as a freelancer, I can be here fine. So I've decided to make it official. And I live in Portugal now. I think it's crazy to say that out loud. And you know what's even crazier is that, like, a part of me even feels a little bit nervous about it. Because I did, so I've obviously, if you know, I lived for 10 months in the USA and I lived for 15 months in Japan. And I'd be lying if I said neither of those made me nervous. Both of those moves definitely made me nervous, as they were massive moves at the time. And, you know, it wasn't exactly around the corner that I went to when I went to America and Japan from London. But this one was easily as nerve-wracking, I would say, even though Portugal has always been a second home, because it's the fact that I'm here permanently. Like, with Japan and the USA, I always knew that I was going to go back soon. Like, it wasn't a forever thing. But this is permanent. Now, that's not to say I plan to spend the rest of my life here, because I probably won't. But I'm definitely going to spend the next few years here. And I think that, again, it's just crazy that I can pull that off now with growing Kairos Online, with helping you achieve your goals. So thank you, in a way. Now that I've given you a heads up on that, let's go and get stuck into six different tips that can help with you reducing overeating. And the first tip is the Apple test. So you might have, again, you might have heard me say this one before, and I feel like the Apple test is probably the one I've mentioned most on social media, but it's very straightforward. It's a very straightforward test. And you know what? Before I mention the Apple test to you, it is worth mentioning that none of these 6 points are like 100% foolproof. They're not 100% guaranteed to work, which is why this isn't called the six ways that are guaranteed to stop you from overeating. It's six tips that could help you reduce the chances of overeating or oversnacking, whatever you want to call it. So the first tip is called the Apple test. And the Apple test is as straightforward as it sounds. So whenever you feel like you're next craving something, ask yourself if you'd eat an apple. If you wouldn't eat an apple, then you're not hungry, you're bored. If you would eat an apple, then it's likely you are hungry, so maybe go have one. Now, whenever I say this, the two most common follow-up questions I get is, number one, what if I really love apples? Well, if you really love apples, I don't know what to say. Again, this isn't the most, like, this isn't meant to be foolproof. And you know what? If you really want to overeat on apples, I guess there could be worse things to overeat on than the bloody apple. So if you think apples are that delicious and you're going to be prone to overeating it anyway, then I don't think it matters too much, especially because they have fiber in there and they're pretty good for you. And the other follow-up question I usually get is, what if I don't like apples? And I think if you don't like apples, I'm going to say it straight up, you're weird. Yeah, you're a little bit weird. Who doesn't like apples? How can you not like apples? I would say you could have a preference. You know, I personally think red apples are nicer than green apples. But if you just don't like apples straight up, then damn, like, I don't know what to say. Maybe the next point will be better for you, which is wait 20 minutes first. And it's as straightforward as it sounds. So a lot of people, potentially you included, struggle with over-snacking because you completely ban yourself from eating specific foods, which is a bit ironic because whenever you tell yourself not to do something, you're only going to want to do it more. It's like, if I tell you not to think of a pink elephant, you're going to think of a pink elephant. If you tell yourself you're never allowed to eat pizza again, you are going to crave pizza like crazy. And maybe you can stick with not eating pizza for like 3, 4, 5, maybe even a week. 3, 4, 5 days, maybe even a week. But there is going to come a day where you give in and then floodgates suddenly open and you binge on everything that you told yourself you could not eat. And that's why I always say, rather than telling yourself that you can't have something and then going all out on it, you're better off telling yourself that you can have it, but you just have to wait 20 minutes first. And that's point number two, as I said. Just wait 20 minutes first. And if after 20 minutes you still want it, have it. You'll be surprised as to how well that one can work. And then point number three, and I feel like this is a really good point, and this is probably one of my favorite points on the list, and I think probably one of the most effective points as well, is don't eat straight from the packet. Like, you can't be surprised. If you grab a whole bag of cookies and you just eat from the packet, like, let's say it's a family bag of cookies, you are obviously going to have a hard time stopping. And this is me speaking from personal experience. When I was a teenager, I recall me doing this a ton. I would just grab a bag of cookies and eat the whole thing, which I don't do anymore because now, instead of eating from the packet, I will put it, how many I'm going to have, into a bowl, and then I just have what's in that one bowl. And then once that bowl is finished, that's it, no more. So just to maybe describe it more simply. All right, so let's say, you probably understood what I meant there, but let's say I'm going to describe it in another way as well. So a lot of overeating happens because you're basically just eating straight from the pack, which at times can feel bottomless. So let's say you want some cookies. To work around this, you'd grab a small bowl, put however many cookies you're going to have into that one bowl. You'll then put the pack of cookies back wherever it belongs, so don't take it with you. And then enjoy whatever cookies you have in the bowl. But once you've finished it, you're done. There's no more. And again, that one can work really, really well. And we're already halfway through. So this podcast is going to be quite a short one, as you can already tell. Last three tips. And tip number four, stop making yourself always rely on willpower. And I think this is a really common mistake that a lot of people who are starting their fitness journeys make out. And I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that this includes you as well. Stop always relying on willpower. A lot of people, again, potentially you included, think that to have a successful fitness journey, weight loss journey, fat loss journey, muscle gain journey, whatever it might be, is that you have to have like willpower made of steel. That's not how it works, because the thing is, relying on willpower is actually hard for everyone, including the people you think it's not hard for. So like personal trainers, fitness trainers, myself, etc. The reason why people who you know who have a much easier time with their fitness journey, let's say, is because they optimize their environment so they don't rely on willpower, or they minimize the need to rely on willpower. Because like I said, relying on willpower is tough for everyone. So for example, if you know you're going to have a hard time putting down the family bag of Kit Kat chocolates or the box of mochi ice cream or the Chips Ahoy cookies, then don't buy it. Don't bring it into your house. Because if it's in your house, again, you're expecting yourself to rely on willpower again. And then suddenly you're going to be surprised when you eat it and you finish the bag. And then you're like, oh no, oh my God, I can't believe I just done that again. And then you're going to repeat the cycle. It's like, how about you just don't buy it? Or you do buy it, because I know that's not realistic for everyone. You do buy it, but instead of buying like a massive family bag, you buy one Kit Kat bar. So then you eat that one Kit Kat bar, and then if you want a second one, you're going to have to walk all the way to the store for it. Which kind of brings me on to my next point is, you know what, this next point and this point I was currently talking about, so point four and five, they kind of like intertwine. Point number five is optimize your environment, which is as straightforward as it sounds. So make nutritious foods more easily accessible rather than the highly palatable foods that are, you know, high in sugar, fat, salt, that you're making easily accessible right now. So, for example, one thing you could do right now in this very moment is place a fruit bowl in the middle of your sitting room rather than the big bowl of chips, chocolate and treats that you currently have there, which is obviously bound to give you a much harder time. So like I said, just optimize your environment to include foods that you know are more nutritious for you. They're higher in vitamins, they're higher in minerals, they have higher fiber, higher protein, etc. Because again, if you're making all these highly palatable foods as the ones that are most easily accessible for you, for example, maybe they're just like in your drawer, like in a drawer that you just have to, you can like mindlessly open, eat a bag of and not even think twice about it, then it's too easily accessible right now. So think about it like this. So instead of not only just making more nutritious foods more easily accessible, how about making the more highly palatable foods? Because, you know, I know at the end of the day, let's face it, we're all going to buy it. I buy it myself. Make them harder to access. Maybe put it in a very high shelf in your house that you just can't mindlessly reach for. Like you'll have to grab a ladder to get to it or something. Or you put it behind something that has a lock on. And then you put like the key on the other side of the house. So it's not difficult to get to. Like all you have to do is go get the key and then unlock it. But it's more effort. Again, you can't just mindlessly reach out, grab it, eat it, and it's done. Basically, I was reading a book called Tiny Habits. I think it's called Tiny Habits by an author called BJ Fogg. BJ F-O-G-G. I would recommend a read. Very good. And he was basically saying, if you're struggling to break a habit, just make it harder to do. And that might sound very simple, but it bloody well works. I done that with my Nintendo Switch recently, and that's not to say I felt like I was playing it too much, but I did feel like I could play it less, and I just made it harder to access. I put it all the way in the other side of the house, like one part of the Nintendo Switch, and then the other Switch is part of the Nintendo Switch is all the way on the other side of the house, so they're on opposite sides. And since then, I haven't touched my Nintendo Switch in about over 2 months, and before I was easily playing it nearly every day. So go figure, I guess, go figure. And then point number 6, so the final point, is don't go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. And you might have heard that saying before, actually. It's not a saying, it's a tip. But you might have heard that tip before, but it's true. So avoid going grocery shopping when you're hungry, if possible, of course, because if you go grocery shopping while you're hungry, then it'll be no surprise that you're likely to make decisions that aren't in line with your fitness goals. And that's just facts. I know that because I'm speaking from personal experience, as well as experience that's been shared with me from other people. Because, you know, if you're hungry, just everything is going to look a lot more appetizing. Whereas if you're fuller, which again, I've tried both ways, you're not going to find the different treats, snacks, etc. as appetizing, which means you're going to buy less things that you don't need. So otherwise, that's it from my 6 tips. As straightforward as that. So it's come to an end. Now, I hope you enjoy that episode. To summarize, number 1, the apple test. Number 2, wait 20 minutes first. Number 3, do not eat straight from the packet. Number 4, stop always relying on willpower. So just, that's, I think that's a big one as well. Number 5, optimize your environment. And number 6, do not go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. They all sound very straightforward, but they can do wonders. Again, none of them are foolproof, but do try them out. You don't have to try all 6 of them at once, as that could probably feel quite overwhelming, but you do very well to turn around and try maybe 1, 2, or even 3 starting today, because, you know, why wait? Otherwise, again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it helpful, share this with a friend, because again, chances are you know at least one person that struggles with oversnacking. If you do or don't, I'm sure you know one other person that does. And if you know one other person that does, then you do very well to share this episode with them, because why keep it to yourself? Be a good friend and just help them with what they're currently struggling with a little bit. And the best part of that is it's free to share this. And not only will you be helping them, you'll be helping me, which is a small business doing my best to grow out here, especially now that I've moved to Portugal for good. And all the help and all the support from you listening means the world, because it might feel like a tiny action to you, but trust me, it adds up a ton. And honestly, like, just to think that I've nearly hit 1.5k downloads on the podcast is just insane to me. When I started, because I a little transparency part here, when I first started, I was like, you know, the first few episodes were super popular because I guess there was that initial excitement with everyone who I know and who had been following me. And because, you know, whenever you do something for the first time, that tends to be when there's the most excitement around it. But then maybe from episodes like maybe between 12 and 20, I felt like the excitement really dipped and I felt like no one was listening to the podcast. But then since then, I had my business mentor, Jordan Sayer, who you may or may not know, love him, like he's helped transform my life. He just, like, I was telling him about what I was feeling and he just like kicked my ass into gear. So, you know, I continued with this podcast and man, best decision I've ever made. So 1.5k downloads in, almost, I'm not there yet. I will be there soon, sooner rather than later, hopefully. And only, you know, you listening can help me get there. You sharing the podcast can help me get there. And by the way, if you're not following the podcast already on whichever platform you're listening to this on, then please do follow away. Again, I hope you're super well. Never hesitate to reach out to me because I love speaking to everyone. And chances are, if you are this deep into the podcast episode listening, then you are the type of person that I'd love to have a conversation with, regardless of what it's about. You know, it can be about anything and everything. Again, just, yeah, don't hesitate to reach out. Even if you want to speak about nutrition and training, of course. If you want to speak about something else, that's fine too. I heard Peaky Blinders are releasing a movie next year, for example, 2023. So I do hope that happens because I've watched every single episode and I do find it very good. The most recent season, I did feel like it was a little bit weaker, but I'm going down a completely different rabbit hole that I did not plan to go down right now. So I'm going to stop myself here. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, follow, share, take care, and I'll see you around.